This process isn't just about apologies. It's about facing and accepting the life-changing trauma that you are responsible for. The violation, the loss of safety and trust, and the stigma of shame.
I understand.
Why me? Why did you choose me?
First, can I just say thank you for coming back in and giving me a second chance?
Why me?
It wasn't about you. It could have been anyone.
But you chose me.
You weren't watching your drink. You were careless. I saw an opportunity and I took it.
So let me get this straight. You're prowling around, waiting to pounce. Everyone else is having a great time, while you're just waiting for someone to take their eyes off their drink for 1 second. Because that's the only way you can feel powerful. That is not powerful. That is pathetic. And then you follow it up with blackmail. What kind of a person does that? You are pathetic, and I am not afraid of you. Oh, you are nothing.
You gonna let her speak to me like this?
Felicity has every right to speak her truth. That's what this process is all about.
I came in here needing to know what happened to me and why. But I have just realized that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one bit. None of it matters because you don't matter. And you will never hurt anyone else ever again.
Jeremy, would you like to respond?
I don't want to hear it. We are done.
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a home and away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
How do you pronounce process?
The correct way? Process, isn't it? Is it just me? It's really annoyed me this week. And that word has been said. I'm not being funny, but if you did shots every time someone said the word process this week, you'd be drunk. You would
process
be drunk.
Heavy.
Process yeah. Heavy. Wow.
It must have been a few processes this evening. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm good. Yeah. How are you this evening?
Doing well. Oh, not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, I'm all right. I've had a good week. It's got another rapid. These weeks are flying by.
They are.
Flying by, they are.
They are.
Yeah. How about you? How's your week been?
It's been a week, I'll be honest. With work, it's just been a bit, oh, God. Anyway, but yeah, I won't bore you with the details. But yeah, I'm glad it's Friday. I'm glad I've got a drink in my hand.
Yeah, ready
it's
to
the
go.
It's the weekend. I'm ready.
Podding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Well, I think we've had a pretty good week down under. I'm not going to lie.
Started off a bit shabby at the beginning of the week. Wasn't too impressed with Monday, Tuesday. A bit lyric heavy for me. L words, I should say, because they're banned, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But the end part of this week, I've quite enjoyed. Have you?
Gripping. Yeah, I would say. Have said. Yeah. And we're going to give all our thoughts on it in the next hour or so, aren't we? Aren't we? Mm. Age old question, do you want your headlines?
Go on then. Go on then.
Everyone is compromised, and I mean everyone, as Cash thinks twice about turning Dana into the police. Rose meets her father and is accepted into the family like no time has passed at all. Alf's new outlook on life causes quite a stir with the locals. And Flick confronts her attacker.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts, and ensure you never miss an episode.
Right, let's start with our new segment, Lyric in a Minute, so we can get through those first couple of days you've just alluded to in the intro as being meh, and then we can get on with the real action, shall we? You all right with that?
Go for it.
So have you got your stopwatch ready?
I have. I'm ready.
In 3, 2, 1. I'm looking at the prognosis.
I'm wanting to stop. Reset.
What am I looking at? Here we go. Sorry, I'm like, Felicity's gone where?
What?
In 3, 2, 1. You'll notice this week Justin was trying to get Theo to write his own stuff and get into his own solo headspace while Lyric was imploding down the road. But reluctantly, you know, Theo was going along, but was putting up quite a lot of resistance. Kirby, though, she's writing away, and Forrest Duke there's very happy with the progress. Full steam ahead for Kirby's solo career on its way. However, Justin's got other things on his mind. He's going to set up a meeting with Forrest for Theo. He wants Theo to go for his own solo stuff. He's going to live vicariously through him, isn't he? And sets up an ambush, I would call it, if you will, meeting with Theo and Forrest. He does an audition for him, offers Theo a record contract, but Theo says, nope, it's Lyric or nothing. I choose nothing, Theo, sorry. And Remy walks into Salt at the wrong time, sees this meeting happening, has a paddy, goes home, puts the record on again and lays on his bed, and then decides to go busking, playing. Oh. There we go.
That's Lyric in a Minute.
Lyric in a Minute.
No more, no less.
Absolutely. Right. So we've also got this week Cash explaining that everyone is compromised. He's compromised. Irene's compromised, which is not a good sound at all in these parts.
She doesn't even know. Is she compromised if she doesn't know? I don't know.
I think it's just being her house. I mean, how do you prove she didn't know? It's a sticky legal area, isn't it? That's, I suppose,
true. She's not there and she doesn't know, so I was like, is she compromised? How do they know? How does she prove that she's not? I guess, yeah, it's a good point
for the plot. She's compromised because you remember he's walked in Friday last week, Dana's there, and he's like, what are you doing here? So he's uncovered Dana hiding out at Irene's house. And there's a bit of a to-do, isn't there, really? Harper's begging him, you know, she's being set up. You can't do this. You know, you said yourself, none of this is right, that the investigator's a bit weird. You know, that, you know, what's his name, the investigator? His name escapes me now.
Something Madden. Detective Madden. But I can't remember his first. What's his first name? It's gone out of my brain.
Madden's something, what I was thinking, though.
Something Madden, yeah. Mm.
You know, she's saying, you've said yourself, you know, something's not right there with him. And Cash says, you know, there's a warrant out for her arrest. I'm taking her in. I don't, you know, this is the right thing to do. And I'm watching this scene, like, behind a cushion, like, which is a bit awkward, isn't it? Because he wants to help, but he also needs to stay on the right side of the law himself. He knows there's other people in the force that are quite defensive and protective of this case, and he doesn't know why. So he's already got his feelers out, hasn't he? He's got his alarm bells ringing. Does he really want to be harboring a fugitive? No, he doesn't, does he? You know what I mean? So he don't think he had a choice at this stage, I didn't think.
I felt for him. I really felt for him, because this conversation that Dana and Harper were having in front of him, but to each other, you know, Dana was saying, oh, you told me he was different. You told me he wasn't like the rest of them, but he's just like the rest of them. And I was thinking, no, he's not. He's literally proved to you that he's not like the rest of them. The rest of them are trying to stitch you up, according to you, according to Dana. She's, you know, she's been set up, and this dodgy detective is part of this setup, and he's got it in for her and all this sort of stuff. Cash doesn't know any of this. He's got no investment in this case from his point of view. He can't be setting her up. All he's doing is trying to do his job. You know, he's saying, I'm compromised. I could lose my job if I don't hand you in. You're a fugitive. I can't just turn a blind eye. I'm a cop. I'm supposed to be. So actually, he's being the opposite of a bent copper by trying to do the right thing and trying not to lose his job. I thought this was really harsh that they were saying, "Oh, you're just as bad as the rest of them." I was like, no. You've said that these people are setting you up and they're doing something illegal. What Cash is doing is trying to follow the law. So don't you dare tarnish him with the same brush. And I did feel for him then. So I thought, no, he's just doing his job here. He's not being, he's not trying to set her up or, you know, be dodgy.
I felt like they were trying to guilt him into breaking the rules. And I'm thinking, no, because ultimately you're in this position because somebody, even if it's not directly you, somebody's done something wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I know that's a bit black and white and a bit night and day, but
I agree. No, because her defence was, I didn't do it. And I thought, well, we could all say that to a copper. We could all say, oh, but I didn't do it. It's not the copper's job to go, oh, all right then, mate, I'll let you off. You know, he's employed, regardless of what he thinks of whether he did it or not, he's employed to take you into custody because there's a warrant out for your arrest. That's his job. It's not his job. It's the court's job to decide whether you're guilty or innocent. That's not the cop's job. The cop's job is to follow the law, get the evidence. You know, he was doing the right thing in terms of what he's employed to do. And just saying, it wasn't me, I didn't do it, that's not, you know, we could all say that when we're being arrested, couldn't we? And then the cop just goes, oh, all right then, don't worry about it, mate, I won't arrest you. That's not how it works.
Exactly. And you've got Harper. No, exactly. And you've got Harper there saying things like, you're throwing her to the wolves.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just thinking, oh, you know, actually, he's right. In the long run, it's going to be better that you're not an absconded, you know, on the run person. If you go in and face it, yes, you're going to have to go in, but I promise I'll help you. I thought it was a really nice compromise, you know. And then it takes out Harper out of it. It takes him out of it. It takes Irene out of it inevitably when she realises she's inadvertently been stashing a criminal in the downstairs bedroom. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just, it's a bit selfish and a bit narrow-minded to think, well, we believe she's innocent, so everyone should, you know, come into our line and get in line. You know, I think it's a bit selfish. And he gets her in the car, doesn't he? Not before saying, don't make me handcuff you. And I was like, okay.
Can handcuff me any day.
And he gets her in the car and she does this really big sort of plea, doesn't she, at this stage? You know, you're going to take me in. I'm wanted and you're taking me in. And they have this good old heart-to-heart in the car, which was actually a nice scene, actually. And it manages to break through Cash's, you know, cop exterior, this conversation. And ultimately, he ends up changing his mind, doesn't he? And getting and taking her back in and agreeing that, look, we're going to look into this together. But you absolutely, nobody can know that you're here. And you're just like, well, it's not going to last long, is it?
No. I'd imagine that Cash is already under the microscope at work with the amount of stuff that he's done in the last couple of years. I just can't believe he's taken this risk, to be honest.
And they've sent Madden out. They've sent him all the way up there to find out what he's up to, why he's sniffing around that case. It's not going to last long at all, is it, this? And she's going to end up taking them down. Now, you know, you and I saying something bigger is at play with this, you know, I think we can categorically come down on that side now, can't we? That conclusion.
I think it probably goes higher than Madden. I think it's probably something that, I don't know what the storyline is. It's mad, but there's obviously some reason why these drugs have been stolen to order, or they're covering it up. Maybe the boyfriend is Madden's relation, or maybe he's the relation related to Madden's boss. There's something going on, isn't there? Like my mind is filling in all the blanks and trying to find what the answer could be. But there's some bigger twist coming, I think, isn't there?
There is. Yeah, and another week down and we've still not got it, but there is more at play, isn't there? And I'm hoping we find out on first look tomorrow, because I'm really intrigued as to where this is going to go. I'm expecting Irene back any minute. And you know, everyone, she's not going to be happy that Cash knows, and that he's stashing her there. You know what I mean? Like, this is just not going to come out very well, and it's going to be really difficult to keep a lid on with people like Madden sniffing around. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm itching to see what goes on next. Now, another big story of the week. We've got to talk now. I think you and I, from what we were talking about last night, we'll come on to it. I think we're feeling a little bit different on this. It's just going to be interesting. But you know, the whole Rose finding her father stuff. I have been lapping this up this week. You remember she was thinking about, you know, what am I going to do? What will I say? And she's sort of discussing this with Marley this week. And Marley, bless him, has been absolutely amazing. You know, he's saying, you know, practice on me. You know, I'm here for you. You know, whatever you need, practice on me if you like. It's really important to you. I'll do whatever you need to do. I think he's great as a support, in a support role. Said it before, he does it with Mac as well. I think he's a really good support for other characters. And she decides, you know, at that point, you know, she's not going to go and see him, is she? But actually, she's going to write a letter. And I thought that was a very sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't know what you're knocking on the door to. Do you know what I mean? A wife, children, you don't know who knows what, to what extent. We don't even know for absolute if it's even your father. Like, we've laughed and taken the mick out of how quick she got to that conclusion many a time now. So I felt like a letter was a good sort of emotionless, take your emotion out, just say, this is what I think, here's my number, post it through, and if it'll be, it'll be. And if not, you've not then wasted your time too much. What did you think about that decision?
I think that decision was good. I like the way that she came to it. You know, it was kind of sort of, as the audience, we were brought along with the decision, weren't we? Because she saw Kirby writing the lyrics down and trying to come up with ideas and explain, and then Rose was sort of going, oh, so you've got your writing mojo back. And she's like, yeah, I'm really getting into it. And, you know, I'll just write it down and then you can scrub it out. Nobody needs to know. If you've got it wrong, you just start again, you know. And then you can see the cogs in Rose's head turning and thinking, oh, that's a really good idea. I can start to write something. And if I start to get it wrong, or, you know, I don't say it in the way that I intended to say it, I can just cross it out and start again. Because the problem with saying things out loud is once you've said them, there's nothing you can do to take them back, is there? So,
yeah,
you know, she's panicking about, what if I say this, or what if I say that, or what if it comes out wrong? But with a letter, you know, learning from Kirby, you can write it down, you can scrub it out, you can write 50 drafts of it until it's perfect and it's what you want to say, and then you can post it. So I think having us coming along for that sort of journey of her realizing that's what to do was really good. But I am finding, I'll be honest, I'm finding the storyline still a little hard to Jenny. I've tried to Jenny it. I've tried to just enjoy it and go with the moment. I think I would have if it wasn't Rose. I think the fact that she is a police officer, and she is not, you know, not approaching this like a case with evidence. There's no DNA evidence that this is her dad. Her mom hasn't confirmed that it's her dad. She's just seen this picture of him on this university website. I'm not being funny, but the only black guy on the website in a picture with her mother. And she's just jumped to this conclusion. And, you know, 2 and 2 plus 5 = 5 sometimes, not 4. I think if it had been anybody else, I might have been able to Jenny it a bit more than I have. But I've not been able to go with it just simply for the fact that she is a police officer. And I don't feel like... Yeah, I think you'd need more evidence. Logically.
Time and time again, we talk about Rose and her police skills, don't we, let's say?
Yeah.
Because you would expect somebody in the force to have a certain way of thinking.
Yes.
I would expect anybody else, any other character, even myself, for example, to get really swept up with that. My God, the dates. Oh, my God, that must be him because my mum's there and they were there together. And I'm 20 something years old and the dates match up. And oh, my God, that must be him. Oh, my God, I'm going to write him a letter. Like, you'd people are like that, aren't they, and get quite swept up in the moment.
But and you believe what you want to believe, don't you? Like, you know, if you're more of an emotional thinker rather than a logical thinker, you would get swept up in it and you would just be like, oh my God, it's got to be him. And but because she's supposed to be logical, she's supposed to collect evidence, she's supposed to prove things before jumping to conclusions, that's her whole job. I'm finding it a little bit difficult at this point, I'll be honest.
It's understandable because you're right. And we talk about her believability as a policewoman quite a lot, you know, when things come up like this and storylines that she's involved in. And she doesn't seem to think like a cop. I'm watching these scenes, not even thinking about what her profession is, because a cop would approach this in a different way, I think. You know, a cop would be like quite forensic about it, wouldn't they? You would expect.
You'd hope so.
Imagine if it was Cash.
A good cop. Yeah. I think Cash would need more evidence, wouldn't he? He's all his faults, and let's be honest, he has got faults. They all have. But for all his faults, I think Cash would need more logical explanation, you know, more proof, more evidence.
Yeah.
You know, his mum to confirm that that was his dad, or, you know, DNA tests, or. She's got so much that she could do. I mean, not legally, let's be honest. You know, she does some searches on him. It's not an open case that she's investigating, but she's got the tools at her fingertips to do stuff that could confirm that he's the dad or her dad.
Yeah.
That she's not using, which makes it feel a little bit. And the dialogue with her and Samuel is like she already believes is the dad. It doesn't feel to me like, because I think I would have approached it differently. I think I would have gone to see him and say, I'm so-and-so's daughter that you knew from, you know, you were her lecturer at university. Do you remember her? Can you tell me about, you know, you and my mum? Did you know, how did you know each other? Did you know each other well? I think I'd have gone about it a different way. I wouldn't have just been like, I think you're my dad. I don't think I'd have been so outright with it.
Yeah, you're right. And I think again, we circle that back to her believability as a policewoman. I think had she had any other, if she wasn't a policewoman, I don't think we'd be doubting it. I think we'd be going, oh yeah, do a DNA test, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think we'd be doubting it so much, you know. If it was somebody else, because you would be led by the emotion. I think I've got swept up in it, and I'm like, you know, I'm not even thinking about her being a policewoman at this stage.
That's
because
good.
that to me is so the connection's not there anyway, no matter what she's investigating. And I'm sure she does. She writes a letter, she puts it through, and he rings her quite quickly, you know, and wants to meet her. So she goes up there to his lovely home.
Can we just say that when he rings her, she seems to recognise his number, even though she's never spoken to him on the phone before. She gave him her number in the letter, but when her phone rings, she looks at it like she knows who it's going to be. And I was like, it could be anybody. That was another thing that annoyed me this week, and I couldn't get out of this headspace of this is not believable. I'm sorry.
Maybe it was the area code that it came from.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And she
was
like, oh yeah, I've been up there. To post a letter.
I'll try and Jenny it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Give it a go. Yeah. And she goes up there to this lovely house, as I say, gorgeous house. Something, university lecturer. Yeah, got a lot of cash. Because I'm just thinking, girl, what cash has he got?
As somebody that works in a university. No, they don't.
Well, this one does. And these lovely scenes that I've been talking online with other viewers this week and listeners of the podcast, and been sort of saying, this is fleshing Rose out for me. This is just what Rose needed, other than, you know, the whole Xander relationship and this Marley relationship that's not working for me. What else is she? And to me, learning this about her backstory, and I'm just here for this whole self-discovery stuff that we're going on. So I think I'm there. I think I'm more bought into it. So these conversations where they're talking about, you know, why why didn't you try and contact me? And he's like, bombshell, I didn't even know you existed. So then I'm thinking, well, mum's a bit of a wrong'un, and all we've heard is how great mum is from Xander. You know, why is mum not telling nobody about her? And then I feel really sorry for her, because he uses the wrong words, like you would in those situations. He says the word mistake. You know, we all make mistakes. Oh, God, I'm a mistake. I think I messaged you, Dad, going home, because, God, we didn't get 3 days of Rose thinking she was a mistake.
Well, to be fair, she was. I don't care what he says. He was married to someone else and he was having an affair and her mum got pregnant. Like, she wasn't planned, was she?
Well, he does say it wasn't sordid. I did love her. Yeah. I went to go and find her at the share house, but she was gone for dust. And you just like...
And this was back in the day when we didn't have mobile phones, and this made me feel really old.
Well, I was doing a bit of maths here. Hmm. When was she born? 98?
She said she was 26. So what year is it now? God, I have to remind myself, because lockdown took away... We're 23
now, aren't we? So 20s...
So she's... Oh,
97? So 97. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they would have been rare, wouldn't they? They would have been about, but not everybody.
I didn't get a mobile phone until 2000 was when I got my first mobile phone, year 2000. Yeah,
I think I was about 2000, 2001, when they were really widespread at that point. But they were about, weren't they, in the 90s?
They were about. Those giant phones were about in 1997, you know, the big bricks. They got slightly better by the 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were still on pay as you go, you know, paying 10p for text message and trying to cram it all in without any vowels, though, weren't you?
That's it. Was Yvette, who is Rose and Xander's mum, trying to punish him some way, you know?
Well,
I want to know more about their relationship.
Have you got any theories about why she hasn't told her who her dad is? Because my brain has gone wild with this, and I'm thinking maybe it's not the love affair that he's making out.
Oh, really?
Like, why would she scarp it? Okay, I get the fact that he's married and they are having an affair, but if they really did love each other and they, you know, he loved her, she loved him, why would they not have that dialogue about the baby? Unless was it not this big love affair? Was it a sexual assault? Was it something more sordid? I don't know.
He's not being truthful?
I don't know. I mean, I want to believe what he's saying, but it's a soap, so I'm thinking Dad's got to be more to it. It's got to be something scandalous. He's done something awful to her. She doesn't want to talk about it because it's traumatized her. She wants Rose to have nothing to do with him because he's a bad man. I don't know.
Well, yes, you're right. There's two ways of looking at this. It's face value. I didn't know you existed, and you know, that's why I've not got in contact with you. Or he is a bit of a snake in the grass, and he did know. He's just pretended she's not existed this whole time, which would be heartbreaking if she found that out. So perhaps he's trying to save her feelings a bit, but also save his own skin. Do you know what I mean? At the same time,
yeah.
And, you know, perhaps I'm thinking along the lines of, did he pay the mum off? Did he ask her to get rid of the baby because of his marriage? And then she refused. So then she's taken herself off to, you know what I mean? That's what I was thinking, if what he's saying is a load of baloney.
Yeah, that's viable, isn't it? I mean, it's sort of touching on a very similar vibe to Marilyn's retcon with Heather last year, you know, where she was having this affair with this married man that she worked for, and then they agreed to bring the baby up, and you know, he knew about Heather being his and Marilyn's, and Marilyn was kind of paid to go away, wasn't she? Essentially, it could have been the opposite. It could have been, I don't want my wife to know about this baby, and I want you to go away, and I want the baby to go away. So you either go away and, you know, get rid of the baby, or go away and have the baby somewhere else, but you don't come near me again.
Yeah,
I don't know. Because it's a soap, I just feel like there's got to be something more to it than.
Yeah.
Something
coming, isn't there? The thing is, if you know, because you know, the whole book thing, putting a name in the book.
The first page of the book, let me just say that book was empty. That first page was filled in, but the rest of the book was blank pages. It wasn't the last page of the book.
Was it not a family Bible? I know you were laughing at it.
I took a screenshot of it and they were writing at the bottom of the first page of the book. And I expected if this was a family Bible with, you know, decades or even longer, centuries of your family going back to whenever with your name and your date of birth in this book, I'd have thought that at least be halfway through the book, not on the bottom of the first page, which is where she put her name.
I'm just, yeah, and I don't know.
It looked like an attendee list for, you know, when you sign up for a class at the gym and you go and write on, they put like a sign up sheet on the wall and you go and sign up and you put your name at the bottom. It looked like that to me. I was like, this is not. I mean, some of the props on Home and Away do make me lol, but this if this was the family Bible, it was written in about 20 minutes. I'm sorry.
And not only that, I was going to say putting her name in it is a pretty big step. If
yes,
it's all a load of tosh.
I mean, yeah. he's not a policeman, but if he's a professor, you'd imagine he's got, you know, some brains, some logical sense, some common sense. But he, this is why I don't believe him about this "I didn't even know you existed" thing, because he believed her immediately that was his daughter. Without any proof, he's not rang Rose's mom and said, "There's a woman turned up at my house and says she's your daughter, and that I'm, you know, I'm her father." Not had that conversation. Not asked Rose for any proof. And he's writing her name in the book in pen. There was I rewound this. It wasn't pencil. It was pen. It's mad. Mm. It's mad. Yeah. This is why I couldn't Jenny it. I'm sorry. I wish I could. I wish I could be like you and just enjoy it. But I've just been picking holes in this because I've been like, this is ridiculous.
Let's see what the week ahead brings. They've agreed that they're going to keep in touch. So let's see. Let's see how long it takes the twist to come and what the twist is. Because we're sort of holding our breaths out with us. This is, can't just be it. You know, something's happening. So let's see, I suppose. Right, Flick and Eden are back from the city and they're meeting with the facilitator, who we find out quite quickly has recommended that Felicity can go ahead with this meeting with her attacker. I mean, on what planet has that been approved? Honest to God.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to even be too involved in this to realise that that's just not a good idea, is it? Or on the face of it, it's not a good idea. So I was a bit like, yeah, right, facilitator needs the sack, you know, approving this. And you were raising some good points last week. This is pre-sentencing, so there's ulterior motives here from him to want to do this, Jeremy.
Yes.
Jeremy the rapist. So it puts Flick in a little bit of a bad mood, actually. Mm. Because she's now got to make this choice, hasn't she? Like, it's crunch time, and it puts her in this bad mood. Mac cops for it, and she's like, what on earth's going on to Eden? And it results in this sort of girls' night Flick's house. I will get the right house eventually.
The Parata house.
Where, yes, the Vino's open, and they're all sort of she asks for advice off the girls, doesn't she? And one says, "No way, Jose." And one says, "I would look him dead in the eyes and poke him in him." like venom. Are you thinking, great advice, girls? What's she gonna do there? You know? Just what she wanted. She's no further on. So after the all-nighter, because they're there all night, aren't they? You know, she's woke up the next morning and ultimately decides that she's going to do it. She's going to do it. And she calls Cash, first of all, and she wants access to the footage, which I thought was a weird request. What did you think of this? Like, I thought, what are you doing? Why? This has become self-torture now. Like, it's
horrendous. I can't even imagine. I mean, obviously, I, you know, you try and put yourself in this character's shoes, and it's difficult to do that anyway. You know, it's such a horrendous storyline. You know, being spiked and then, you know, attacked at a gig where it's supposed to be a celebration. I mean, it's just horrendous. And blackmailed, yeah. The blackmail was unnecessary. It's awful enough without that. It's just horrendous. But then, I don't know whether I was trying to kind of reconcile that with myself this week and think if I was in her shoes, right? So I don't remember a thing about what happened. I was, you know, I've been drugged, so I've got no recollection of it. I was unconscious during the whole thing. We know what's happened because we've got the evidence, you know, we've got DNA evidence to prove what he did. For some reason, she's decided that she needs to know, you know, she wants to fill in those blanks. She wants to remember what happened and she wants to watch the video so that she can see it. And I was just thinking, I don't think if it was me, I mean, it's difficult to say because you're not in that situation. But if it was me, my gut feeling is that I would not want to watch that video because that would stay in my memory. I think it'd be worse than, you know, if you were conscious at the time and you remembered it happening, that's one thing. You know, you've got your memories, which can be hazy and etc. If you've watched a video of it, that's the most graphic thing you can watch. And I think that would be burned into my memory for the rest of time. And I think I would never, ever get past seeing those images in my head and replaying it in my head. And it would be not a memory that I could be like, maybe that didn't happen. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Maybe it wasn't quite like that. Maybe I'm thinking of it, you know, much worse than it was. No, it's the actual detail. It's the truth. It's what happened. There's no, you know, there's no saying maybe it wasn't that bad or maybe I've made that worse in my head. No, you've watched it. So you've seen exactly what it was like. And the replaying of it would be exactly how it happened. And I think that is, for me, that would be so, so much worse.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely see what you're saying and I completely concur. I think you're blessed with the lack of knowing what on earth actually happened.
Yeah.
Why would you want to open up? Because it could trigger all sorts of...
You'd never get over it. I wouldn't. You know when you do something, I'm not saying anything as terrible as this, but you know when you do something that you regret, and then you've got that memory of you doing it and you think about it, you know, when you lie in bed and you can't sleep and then there's that pit of your brain that goes, oh, here's a selection of horrible memories that you don't want to think about and I'm just going to bombard you with them now because you can't sleep. You know, the really opportune time to tell you this kind of stuff. And you lie there and you remember things, but you remember in a way that it's not like watching a video of it exactly happening as it happened, is it? It's your memory of it, which you can exaggerate or underplay because it's your memory. And you can tell yourself, oh, it wasn't that bad. Or, you know, I'm just exaggerating it or whatever. If you've watched a video of you doing that thing that you regret, or that thing that makes you feel ashamed, or that thing that makes you feel terrified, or whatever it is, it's so much worse because that is the actual truth and that is what happened. And... I just can't imagine having something as horrible as this be that graphically ingrained in my head for the rest of eternity. I just think that would be, think that would end me. I don't think I'd cope.
Yeah, same. You just couldn't do it to yourself, could you?
No.
You just couldn't do it. And Cash isn't prepared to do it to her either. And he refuses, doesn't he? And she says, well, I'm off down to YCPD anyway, so I don't care. With or without you. She tells him, you know, but I do want my brother by my side. So he's guilted into following her there and helping facilitate it. Luckily, she sense, depending on what, you know, what you're saying there, but luckily, unluckily, she can't go through with it, can she? So she's not seeing the footage. I think that was the right call in the end. I really, really do.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this moment, I mean, we'll talk about Jackie's performance over and over and over again on this podcast lately. And she's telling him, you know, I hate him, you know, the venom, I know. But she's not seeing the footage, but she needs to face him. And she decides in that moment she's going to go ahead with this facilitated meeting. What are they calling it? What's the term they're using?
I can't remember, but I know.
Not arbitrary. I can't remember what they're calling it now, but
it's gone out of my head.
Restorative justice.
Restorative, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Restorative something or other. And you just, which I'm still a bit, you know, I've got trepidations about it myself. Thanks to you. And last week you being like, it's pre-sentencing. He's got other things on his mind here. I'm like,
Cash said that, didn't he? Was it Eden said, you know, why would he even be contemplating doing this? And Cash said, well, you know, maybe he's genuinely sorry. Maybe he generally wants to make amends. Or maybe he's looking for a lesser sentence. And I thought, well, there we go. That's what I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, she decides to go ahead with it. We get to this meeting. And that's exactly what I thought. Rehearsed, smarmy. Oh. You remember that geezer that was was being questioned by Cash the other week, and you just wanted to rip his face off.
Yeah.
Wanted to do it again during this scene. Yeah. I thought, you disgusting. I'm coming off on that.
He was can we just say though, the actor is brilliant.
Oh yeah.
He you had to hate him, didn't you? You had to hate him. Like, we're not supposed to like this character. He's supposed to be evil. He's supposed to be somebody that you'd happily let Tarney in there for 5 minutes and pummel him to a pulp, wouldn't you, really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's playing it really well.
Tarney's come back, and obviously he's none the wiser, has discovered through a third party she's at the police station and runs down there. I am so annoyed. Tarney and Felicity agreed no more secrets, right? The basis of them surviving this whole shebang was that they were going to be honest with each other. She got shot of him so that she could facilitate all this and not tell him about it. And I'm a bit cross with her about it, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, he looks cross as well, doesn't he?
First of all, he knew about Gemma before she knew about this, isn't she? Because he was booking his flights when she was having the phone call with the people that were invited to the restorative justice thing, whatever it was.
Yeah, so, he'd gone inside and booked it, hadn't he, while she took had. The call.
So I don't think she planned to get rid of him because of this, but she did sort of say, I'm not coming with you, and made a big song and dance about how the gym needed her and Salt needed her, but then effed off on a few days away with Eden, which that annoyed me, I'll be honest. She went away with Eden for a few days after telling her husband she couldn't go and see his sister-in-law that had been in a car accident. That annoyed me because I was like, okay, you can go away with Eden, but you can't go away with your husband. So I was annoyed about that. But for her to not tell him that she'd had this phone call, and to not tell him that she decided, you know, even the decision, like, maybe she wanted to take some time out and not tell him to get, you know, she didn't want to be tainted by his opinion of what she should do. She wanted to come to her own conclusion. I get that. But then once she decided, yes, I'm going to go ahead with it. Yes, I'm going to go and meet him. I think maybe then was the right time to tell Tarney that you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know he's got a lot going on because he's got, but Gemma's not being funny. Gemma's not dying. She's just broken a hip and broken a leg, which is awful. But, you know, he can handle having this conversation with Flick. It's not like Gemma's in the ICU on life support. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, he would have stayed in a heartbeat, wouldn't he?
He would, you know. Yeah. But she could call him. She could have phoned him in New Zealand and said, look, I didn't want to tell you this before you left because, you know, I want you to go and see Gemma and make sure she's okay. But now that you're there, I need to tell you that this has happened. I've decided I'm going to go through with it. I've decided I'm going to go and meet this guy. You don't need to worry. Cash is coming with me. Eden's coming with me. Don't rush back. But I want to let you know this is what I'm doing because, you know, in the interest of being open and honest and everything else, she could have told him.
Yep. Why? Oh. But it's more lies. It's constant lies. She treats him like a doormat. I've said it before. And it winds me up. And the thing is,
I'm putting them on Fizzle Watch.
Oh, officially.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think this is the beginning of the end. He looked crushed when he came back. You know when they got home after she met him, and she was all buzzing and like, oh, it was so good. I feel so hyper. And he was like, can I just ask you a question? Like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah. Well, that's where we left, isn't it? At the end of the episode as well.
Puzzle watch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, I hope you're not right.
I'm seeing this is the beginning of the end for these two.
But she's only got herself to blame if that's the way, because he does deserve better, in my opinion. The guy, you know, put aside what she's been through, you know, I feel like he's, you know, and he's gone through this as well.
Yeah.
You know, he's had to go through this, like, and I just feel like he doesn't deserve more lies. You both sat and agreed, no more. You know, from this point forward, we need to be absolutely on the same page. And I just feel like it comes too easy for her. I really do. Fizzle watch. Right. I tell you what's not fizzling. Elf's hearing. He's back. And he's hearing everything.
His hearing is brilliant now.
Yeah. Isn't it? And he's...
You can hear the dying ladies from 40 yards away.
Yeah. I told you, didn't I? You know, my colleague had one and she could hear everything behind her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. There's some things that you wish you didn't hear, though, isn't there? I think, yeah. I don't think I'd want sonic hearing where I could hear everyone talking behind my back. Literally.
No. Ignorance is bliss. Yeah,
it is, isn't it?
And he's in a great mood, isn't he? I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Ooh. We've heard little snippets during this mood, you know, how well Rue's doing with her physio and recovery. Just to let you know, she's still down there recovering.
Please don't recover.
And there's this committee meeting for the surf club, and John's been fretting over it because Alf is infamous in these meetings, never agrees to nothing, he's grumpy. Whatever John wants, Alf says no. Yeah. Not this time, Alf. They've gone to this committee meeting and he's made everybody suspicious because Alf has agreed to everything John wants. He was more than agreeable. And John's like, who is this bloke? He actually doubts, doesn't he, that the hearing aids are working, because he's like, there's no way he's agreed to what we've asked. You know, what was it? Team bonding days?
Some kind of team away day thing.
Wishy-washy stuff.
Yes, I think it's like an axe throwing or an escape room or like, you know, I don't know. What's a team bonding day these days in 2023? You know what I mean? Like some kind of...
Crazy golf.
Yeah.
Crazy
golf. The crazy golf that's inside, but it's like neon and you drink as you go around.
Yeah. It's called junkyard golf here.
Oh, yes, that's it. Junkyard
is
golf.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. And Alf's agreeing to it. And you're like, right, okay. No one believes it. Leah sees it too. She's like, he's acting weird. He's way too happy. What's going on? And there's all these hush-hush discussions between John, hilarious, by the way, as always, between John, Leah and Marilyn, like, who's going to speak to him and tell him who wants it? And Marilyn's like, nope, I've paid my dues, I got him the hearing aids. And they're all talking and asking him questions behind his back, testing if he can hear anything. Ultimately, Leah gets volunteered, doesn't she, to speak to him, because John and Marilyn are too chicken. But seemingly they're absolutely fine. We learn that the best feature, the feature that Alf absolutely loves about this hearing aid, is that you can turn them on and off when you like.
You can mute John Palmer with the switch of a button. It's brilliant. He's so happy. I think I tweeted this week that Mr. Stewart hasn't been this happy since he saw the River Boys leave the bay. I've not seen him smile since that day. So here we go.
Absolutely. So that's his secret now. You know, he's going to be switching that on and off. He can do it on his phone. He knows what he's doing. Alf's got new ears.
Right, Si, it's that time again. Your say on the bay time. Are you ready?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You ready? Anyone else that might be new here who's not ready, what we're going to do now is have a look at what you guys, the viewers of Home and Away, think about the episodes that have just aired this week. I've been going through all your comments on social media and all your reactions. picking a few out to read to Si. So we'll be talking about those, and I'll be reading them out and discussing what you think about what's happened this week. But before we get on with that, for those of you that already know the drill, you know what's coming up. But we are on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, etc. We're on the app that was formerly known as Twitter, still calling it Twitter. We tweet along with the episodes that are airing at 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday on Five Star here in the UK. So if you want to get involved on the hashtag Home and Away, come and tell us your thoughts as you're watching the episodes. Let us know what you think about what's going on the show at the moment. And you might just end up on this segment on Your Sail on the Bay. So we have a little dig through some comments.
Yeah, hit me. Come on.
Are you ready?
What are people saying?
Right. Well, the first topic we're going to look at is Rose meeting Samuel, and I've put daddy question mark because I'm not convinced he is daddy yet. And if you go back into the main episode of, a few minutes ago, you'll hear all my thoughts about why I'm not convinced that he is daddy and why I'm not Jennying it, why I'm
anything
not just going.
Anything can happen at this point. You and I feel slightly different, don't we, about this? So this will be interesting.
Well, I'll be honest with you, a lot of people are struggling to Jenny this, to go with it, as we say.
Right.
Just go with it. A lot of people are struggling. I had a look through Facebook and I had a look through Twitter as well, and I'll read you out some comments. So the people that are struggling are saying, so Leone says, it's amazing how it only took one photo and suddenly she's found her dad. I mean, yes, it is amazing.
Unbelievable.
Astonishing. why did we invent Ancestry DNA and, DNA, whatever it is, all those other websites, when all you need to do is Google a photo that was taken before the internet was invented and find your dad in it? It's insane. But anyway, otherwise I'm finding it hard to Jenny it. Anne's also finding it hard. So Anne on Facebook said, Rose finding her dad is really winding me up. She's assuming this guy is her dad. She looks in a yearbook photo, saw a guy who could be her dad, and went headlong into making friends with him and talking about his parents, her grandparents. Nothing has been confirmed. It's a bit rushing forward here, and there's the key piece of info missing. Yes.
That being a DNA test.
The proof, the evidence, I think. Yeah. Mm. Lee is also
I think Yvette, the mum, is the key to unlocking this whole thing. She'll know him.
Do you know what I mean? She knows. You know she'd know him.
I'm expecting some conversations with Mother Bear in the future. Is where my gut feeling will go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go on. What's Lee saying?
So Lee was saying the same as me on the main podcast, saying, as a policewoman, you would think Rose would want to do a DNA test.
Well, I mean, we're back to Rose being a policewoman and not acting like one, aren't we here?
Yeah. Jenny on Facebook says, I'm surprised the scriptwriters completely ignored any safety issues. Rose went and met a man she didn't even know at his home, went inside, could have been anybody, and Rose is a policewoman who should have known better. The safe angle, we're always told, is keep safe, always meet in public, etc., etc. Also, as already noticed by some people, no DNA test? Really?
The safety thing's a good point, actually, that I'd not considered.
Yeah,
Marley, supportive Marley, should have sat in the car or should have gone.
But maybe in some cases, maybe we're supposed to think, oh, she's a policewoman, she can handle herself. And then in other cases, we're supposed to dismiss the fact that she's a policewoman and supposedly should be finding the evidence. It feels a little bit... What are we supposed to believe? I think for me, I don't know about you, but the storyline with Lyric has gone on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It's been dragged out. Kirby leaving the album, everything to do with Lyric is dragged out over episode after episode after episode. Whereas this storyline is huge, and yet we're rushing through it so fast, and it just feels like this is the storyline that should have taken a bit longer to get to where we are.
Do you think the balance is off between all these storylines? Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this one should have had more of an arc. Like, we should have had her talking to mum. You know, we should have had her talking to anybody that she went to uni with. And then, oh, there was this guy that she used to hang around with. He was a lecturer. Oh, okay, what was his name? Oh, I'll go and find him. I think there should have been more, not just, I found a photo of this man in the same picture as my mum. He's black, he's my dad. I'll turn up at his house and write him a letter. It's just gone so quickly. Yeah. And that's why it's not believable, I think.
Yeah, you're right. It has been a bit of a hop, skip and a jump, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, there needed to be a lot more. I think for her, there needed to be more evidence gathering, more of a conversation, contacting other people that her mum was at uni with first, and them saying, well, she was really close with Samuel, maybe he knows, or, you know, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. And then meeting Samuel and going, oh, actually, would you be my dad? Did you have a relationship with my mum? You know, there could have been more of a dialogue, whereas it wasn't. It was just kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there we go. Dan on Facebook said, it's not confirmed that he is the father. A DNA test should have been done. As mentioned in today's episode, I thought it was a very silly mistake by the writer of the episode. Mark Dorian said,
everyone's hung up on this DNA, aren't they?
Everybody's saying it.
So everybody wants the proof, yeah.
Yeah, Mark saying DNA tests, we just need to see if it is her dad. I mean, I think as viewers, we're asking for proof, aren't we? I don't think it's just Rose. I think we're asking for the proof because we are, you know, we are well-weathered soap fans here watching this show. Mm-hmm. We know what happens. We know without DNA evidence, everything is up in the air until you have that confirmation. Anything could happen. I think it's proving to us as the audience that we need to know for sure that's her dad without just being, you know, told to Jenny it. Body Queen on Twitter says, as if she's found her dad that quick, FFS, and then a bunch of eye-rolly emojis. Emily on Twitter says, I'm sorry, but you would need a DNA test to be sure. Julie on Twitter says, and he's not even asked for a DNA test or spoke to Rose's mother, and he's got her signing the book. Yeah, it's a good point. Our friend Farnie Emma on Twitter said, I'd died laughing if she'd have scrawled her date of birth in his family Bible only for him to turn to her and say, well, this can't be right. That would have been funny, wouldn't it? Like, you were born when? Oh, no, you're definitely not mine. Quick!
Anyone? Tipex?
just cut that bit out. Just cut that bit out. It's fine.
Yeah.
Belle on Facebook says her mother should have told her who her dad is. She has a right to know where she's come from.
Yeah, the mother's been a right stinker. I've said to you, I think words need to be had with old Yvette.
There. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Gems on Facebook says, I'm wondering if there's something else going on with the storyline and there's a reason why her mum won't talk about it.
You've said it, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Mm. Not everything as it seems. Yeah.
Yeah, there might be some more to it. But not everyone is feeling the same way. So Sonia on Facebook says, this has been played brilliantly. Superb acting from Rose. Linda's got the hots for Samuel.
Oh.
So Linda's saying Samuel's a bit handsome. And then Jamie on Twitter is saying we should make Rose's dad a full-time cast member.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a nice fella. Well,
he was all right, wasn't
we don't know enough though, do we? On the, you know, his appearance was nice.
Yeah.
He was very warm towards Rose.
On the face of it, he seemed like a good guy, didn't he? But because I don't trust it yet. I don't, you know, I've got my hackles are up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, which is understandable, you know.
Yes, so we'll have to see. So, yeah, lots of people are just not being able to Jenny it, but some people are enjoying it, saying it's been... I think the acting, I wouldn't knock the acting. I think the acting has been good. I think he has been good. These things with Rose have been good. I mean, she's not the most emotional character, is she, generally? So to see this other side of her.
I'm loving seeing it. Yeah. And it's telling us where she came from.
Yeah.
You know, we've got this mad story about her and Xander's backstory, but it's sort of a few lines long. Like, she now has this whole, and there's potential for a whole other family here. And it's South African, it's diverse, it's, you know, the potential and the opportunity of doing a story like this could open up so much for other cast members, for, you know, the longevity of the Delaneys.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's for me, I'm looking at the potential. We're fleshing her out in this way. There's so much more we can then do with it later on down the line. Do I realistically think anything would happen, though? That's another story, isn't it? You know, that's another debate. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm quite enjoying learning more about her and watching her learn about her, you know?
Yes. Yeah, we needed it, I think, didn't we? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's Rose and Daddy question mark. Because I'm just not convinced. The next topic we're going to talk about is Dirty Cash. So on Facebook, they played a clip of Dirty Cash finding out that Dana is living at Irene's and that Harper's been stashing her away and lying to him, essentially. So lots of people have been commenting on this video and saying what they think. So Lorraine said, poor Cash, this is an awful situation they've put him in. It's not really something that you'd expect from a friend, isn't it? Like, Harper keeps saying that they're such good friends and she trusts him, and essentially she's lying to his face.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem with Cash is, I think he's quite easily swayed, isn't he? He ends up in these situations quite easily.
Yeah.
It is poor Cash, but actually, you know, he could have took her to the police station and handed her in and done the right thing, but he hasn't.
He
isn't. He's a bit of a bad cop, really.
Well, this is the thing that annoyed me about this episode. He's a bad cop for not turning her in, but they were calling him a bad cop to his face for the fact that he wanted to turn her in. And I was like, no, you've got it completely twisted here. Like, he's not a bad cop. That's a good cop, yeah. But they were saying to him, like, she was saying to Harper, oh, he's just like the rest of them. I thought you said he was a good one. And I was like, well, he's just proven that he's a good one by the fact that he wants to follow the law. If he was a bad cop, he would let you go because you've said, oh, it wasn't me. Which is ridiculous. This is why it winding me up. I'm like, he's a good cop, but you've just turned him into a bad cop by telling him he's a bad cop. Are you trying to do the right thing? I'm really annoyed. Poor Cash. I just feel sorry for him. He doesn't know what to do. Like, he doesn't know what, you know, whether he's coming or going. So I agree with Lorraine. Poor Cash. Awful situation that he's in. Jenny on Facebook says, I think Dana is guilty. Oh, what do you think of that? Because Dana's pleading innocence, isn't she? I've been set up. You know, my boyfriend set me up. He's lying. This cop is out to set me up. He just wants to put me away. What do you think? Mary, you falling on this?
Well, since the beginning, I think Dana's been lying to Harper about what she knows. I don't think she's guilty of the whole drugs thing.
No.
Because I've had no reason to think that as of yet, as it stands today. But I do think she's deliberately taking the rap for the boyfriend. I think the boyfriend's told her, you know, I love you. Ollie, is it the boyfriend?
Yeah.
You know, I love you. If I go inside, we'll never be together. You know, I think he's given her all that. And I think she's taken the rap for it deliberately. And I think she's keeping that from Harper.
Could be.
That's my gut feeling. I don't think she's being truthful. So I think that what that person's saying there is sort of half true.
Mm. Yeah, and we found out this week that they hadn't been honest with Cash about the fact that Dana's got prior drug offences.
There we go.
So they're already lying about, you know, her she's already had a brush with the law. She says it was party drugs, it was years ago. But we don't know, do we? This is the first time we've heard about it. So,
but that could also be Ollie related.
It could be, yeah. We don't, it sounds like it was when she was a teen, but that can't have been that long ago, can it, really? In the grand scheme. Laura's been pretty forthright with her opinion, really. She said she's awful and so stupid.
Oh gosh.
No beating around the bush there from Laura.
No.
Victoria on Twitter saw this coming. She said, I knew Cash would let Dana go. He's such a big softie. Yeah. I think I'd probably agree with that. He is quite easy to win over, isn't he, when it's, I just feel for
he
him.
Feels down as well. He feels deep down that they're good people. So he's trying to be on the side of the good.
Yes.
But in doing so, he's not being a good person, is he? He's doing the wrong thing. Mm. And that doesn't make you a good person. I don't, this is really conflicting.
Yeah, absolutely. Just Jen on Twitter says, Cash, just arrest them both. Irene does not need this shit.
You're not wrong, Just Jen.
You're not wrong. Irene doesn't need this shit. Poor Irene. You know, she's absolutely clueless. She's gone off to see her granddaughter that she doesn't even know exists.
She's going to be...
Coming up. Sure, if you listen to last week's You're Say on the Bay, you'll understand what I mean by that. But she doesn't need to come home to a house full of lying criminal
fugitives. She's going to be spitting fire when she gets home and finds out all this is going on. Oh. She does not need this in her life, no.
The trouble is, though, you know, like Victoria just said, I knew Cash would let Dana go because he's such a big softie. Irene is a big softie, especially when it comes to tearaways, waifs and strays, people with a bit of a backstory. Because she's got this thing that she carries all the time about, you know, the fact that she, you know, she's had brushes with the law. She has had a sort of a sketchy past as an alcoholic, not a particularly great mother, you know, during the time when she was an alcoholic. She feels like she's constantly having to make amends and make up for the fact that she's done things wrong in the past. And she sees that in other people, doesn't she? She gives people a second chance because she's had a second chance and she's turned her life around. So is she going to find out that Dana's been basically hiding out in her house, go mad initially and go, why didn't you tell me? Like, oh, I'm going to get into trouble. I can't believe you've done this to me, girly. And then when she hears the story and she hears that Cash knows about it, you know, he's a copper. She trusts him. He used to live with her.
Yeah.
Is she then going to soften and say, okay, girlies, you can stay here. Just keep your heads down.
Yeah.
Is she going to become part of the.
There's definite danger that she would agree to that, isn't there?
I think she would, because she's just so bloody nice.
And I think Irene might be the key to getting through to Dana. You know, like, listen, girly, you've got rocks in your head covering for that drop kick. You know, like, she might, you know, it might take a wise female figure.
Yes.
To get through to Dana to stop this. Because she's still in contact with this Ollie. And something's going on there. I think he's the puppet master. I really do.
Yeah. She's not mad at him, is she? I mean, I'd be fuming if my boyfriend had used my staff card to go into my hospital where I work, steal drugs, and then pin it on me when the police come sniffing. I would be absolutely fuming. I wouldn't give him the time of day.
Bang to rights. Yep, absolutely.
And I'd be going, it was him, and I will prove it. I will get him on a phone call. I will record him. I will do whatever it is to bring him down. The fact that she isn't angry is really suspicious AF to me.
Yeah, same.
Well, Leslie's got a foreboding comment. Leslie says they'll all end up in the clink.
Might be right, Leslie. You might be right.
God, another mugshot from Irene. Can we handle that? I don't think we can. She's had a few in the past, hasn't she? I think there was Angie Russell one, you know, when they thought that she was Angie Russell's murderer.
That's about time it was updated.
I think there's one that's on, it does the rounds, you know, as a meme every now and again. I think we'll end up getting a new one. Anne says, Cash is doing his best. That detective is trouble. Cash gets some fab storylines and he plays them perfectly. What a great actor and character.
Oh, that was nice feedback.
That's nice. And Betty thinks the same, actually. Betty on Facebook says, I love Cash. What a great actor. Elaine says, I love Cash. And Catherine also says, Cash will sort out that detective no problems. He's such a good actor.
Mm.
So there's lots of people. And then Anne, another Anne says, corrupt detective Cash, be careful and sort this case out. Gorgeous character.
Oh.
A lot of love for Cash.
Popular with the ladies, Cash.
Yes, actually they are all lady names. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's nice to hear because, you know, we... On this segment, you know, it's like I said before, it's really easy to bang out a tweet or, a Facebook comment about something you're not enjoying or something, you're not finding particularly interesting, whatever it is. It's quite rare to then sit and write something when you are enjoying something, isn't it?
Yeah.
And say that you're enjoying something, say something that's really good. So yeah. when people do say that they're enjoying something or something that's really good, I try and include that because I think those are normally the kind of, the comments that you don't see as often because it's really, you don't tweet or message as much about the good stuff as you do about the bad, do you, I think, sometimes.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Thank you for listening. We will be back with more episode discussion from Summer Bay soon. Until then, join the discussion online at Coastal News Pod.